The Epistle to the Ephesians, please. And we'll read in chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. God will bless, I'm sure, again, the reading of his word. I'm conscious of the time. I'm conscious of the detail of the matter we have read together, and that could take us well over an hour to exposit this particular section. But we won't keep you up from your tea. You don't have pies here that's hot as we do in Scotland, but nevertheless we won't have your tea cold. How lovely to think of the Lord Jesus coming into time. How blessed to contemplate his incoming into manhood, and to see that lovely person who came down into manhood and down into servitude, and down to the cross, and to the cross death, and down to the grave. How blessed to think of him. And as Peter would say, he has left us an example that we should follow his steps. And the ministry that we have been listening to, the variety of it, if you gather it all up together, you and I find ourselves in a field of witness. The great book of the Acts of the Apostle, the key word to that great book is witness. And you'll know at the end of Luke 24, you will read these words, ye are witnesses of these things. And in Acts chapter 1, ye are witnesses in these places. And when you come over to Acts 26, you will read Paul saying, having obtained help from God, I continue unto this day testifying, witnessing to small and great. So he witnesses before these people. So you and I are in the field of witness, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the perfect exemplar. He is the faithful and the true witness. And how blessed to think of him coming here and the devil approaching him, called the temptation in the wilderness. And he approached them at a very special time after his baptism. And when he had received the commendation of his Father in heaven, it was at that time he moves out to face the devil. And you know, the devil is very cunning. And we want to just speak about the need for the armor that is provided. Because he's very cunning. The Lord Jesus is the only person in which he could say, Satan cometh and findeth nothing in me. There was no response whatever in the blessed person of our Lord Jesus. How lovely to consider that. But you and I are different. You and I are different. And this great epistle of the Ephesians, and we know the book so well, I'm sure, those who study the Word of God. Christian blessings in chapters 1 and 3 of great positional ministry, as you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And chapters 4 to 6, Christian responsibilities. Chapter 1, the subjects of divine election. And we won't go into that. We have no time for that right now. Of predestination, of adoption, of acceptance, of redemption, subjects of divine possession, and subjects of divine consummation in the purpose of God. Look at their blessings. Enjoy them, dear saint of God. In chapter 2, we are subjects of divine life. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And we are the subjects of divine life, of divine mercy in verse 4, of divine love, of divine grace. You and I are the subjects who enjoy God's peace, and divine citizenship. All the blessings that we have come to in Christ, in that blessed one that trod the scene, and who went down into the strong man's domain and rendered him powerless, and rose mightily out of that, as we've been hearing, and ascended up on high, as we heard, from the slopes of Olivet's Mount. And as they watched him go, for they watched him there, and they watched him there, and they watched him until a cloud received him out of their sight. And to the sad hearts that saw him go, there were two men appeared beside them. He said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you have seen go up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." No wonder they went back to that upper room joyful. Joyful in the prospect of the coming again of our blessed Lord Jesus. I hope you believe that. That coming again in Acts 1 is the manifestation when he will come to reign. When God will vindicate fully the death of his Son. When he shall reign from pole to pole and shore to shore. And when from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, his name shall be praised among all nations. And he's coming back to reign in the very sphere of his rejection. Why, I tell you, I am glad of the truth of God's word that puts encouragement into my poor heart and presents to me a Saviour that has left an example for my life. And it presents to me a Saviour that has conquered death, man's greatest enemy and men's greatest fear. But he has gone down into that strong man's domain and rendered him powerless. For as the children were partakers of blood and flesh, he likewise himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the might of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So I am glad for the word of God and its meaningfulness to me as I read its pages, and find food for my soul, and encouragement for my life, and comfort for my heart. And when treading the valley, and there are not so many in here perhaps that have never known valleys, and if you haven't known the valley experience yet, I want to say that it's round the corner for you somewhere in life. And the word of God says this, the psalmist says, glorify God in the valley. That's not an easy thing to do. But the word of God, this is my comfort in my affliction, even thy word that quickeneth me. Oh, the value of the book we are holding in our hands. And oh, the richness of the ministry that comes to our soul. And all these blessings at the beginning of this epistle, of course, are ours. And we possess them. I hope we live in the enjoyment and the good of them, my dear brethren. We want to lift our hearts and cheer our spirits in this dark age, for we're in the field of witnessing against a mighty foe. And then, of course, chapter 4, Christian unity in the church, Christian conduct in the world, Christian carefulness in family life, marital life, employment life. It's all here. You want practical? It's here. You want positional? It's here. You want prophetical? It's in this book. All in the word of God, feeding the people of God in whatever, in the multivarious avenues through which these scriptures can take our minds and hearts if we read and dwell upon it. Did you read the Bible today? Did you read the word this week? Is this really the manna of our souls? Is this where we find the comfort and guidance for our lives? And so when you come to chapter 6, it's Christian conflict with unseen forces. That's what's on my heart today. You would know, and I would know, that from the very beginning of time, the godly have had three enemies. And the enemy is this: the flesh, that's me, the world, with all its attractions around us in our day, and all its allurements, seeking to dethrone Christ from our hearts, from the seat of our affection. The world is a very real opposing force. And then there's the devil. Behind it all, there is the devil. And I just want to speak because the great apostle, to whom we are indebted for 13 epistles that he wrote, and you might give him the epistle to the Hebrews, that would be you that would do that. God doesn't do that, but if you give him that, then he's written 14. What a legacy this dear servant has left behind. And he saw fit, guided by the Spirit, to leave on record warning notes about the activity of the hosts of evil around us. And there are many. We could add a fourth now, the clock. That's an enemy as well. But nevertheless, just let's think for a moment or two. The need for the armour. We have details of the adversary. The enemy is detailed for us in these verses. We wrestle not against blood and flesh, flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here is our enemy defined, the enemy detailed. And where are they? I tell you, they are all around us. When you think of principalities, it's the idea of rulers, archy, the word. the dignity of their position. Emissaries of Satan himself, his army, his forces, diabolical, intellectual, aggressive, and his target, the testimony of the people of God. Your personal testimony and mine, and our collective testimonies, are the targets of the evil one. My dear brethren, today, I just feel, and I say this cautiously, but I do feel that many of the people of God are sleeping, unaware that constantly, by his innovations and by these mighty powers, by the activity of his emissaries, we are unaware very often of his subtle attacks. For he works to a strategy, and that's the word here as well, the wiles of the devil, the cunning schemes of deception, his stratagem. And he is active, and he is very, very good at his business. And you and I today have to think about the testimony personally. Where I live, where I go, what I do, even how I speak. All these things are noted. And he is so able to bring opposition before us, to test us, tempt us, trip us. He could never be successful with the Lord Jesus. Many times he sought, many times they sought to catch him at a word, but they failed. Every time he silenced all his opposers. But with you and I, it's so different, and we need to be aware of this. The wiles of the devil. We wrestle not, that is, struggle. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. I want to think about Satan for a moment. You know that he hinders the multiplication of the people of God. And that's seen in Exodus chapter 1. And the more they were persecuted, the more they multiplied and grew. But the aggressiveness of Pharaoh, satanic power was behind that to deplete the numbers of the people of God. And seen behind him when he sought to let the people go. I know he wanted the children. Give us the souls. Give us the children. And the last thing he wanted was the people of God to worship. And he invented industry to keep them more active, that they might not be able to worship their God. And you just need to think of this present day and all the industrial strata that is around us. And the Lord's Day has become just another day in the commercial world around us. I remember the days when the Lord's Day was honoured, when there was Lord's Day observation. When shops were closed and commerce stopped. But there is nothing like that now, because the Lord's Day has become just another day. They don't even give the Lord's honour on the first day of the week. I tell you, we ought to feel these things as the days grow darker, and as the oppression gets worse in this last closing day. And so, he hinders the multiplication of the people of God. He hinders the movement of the people of God. You remember, of course, when Israel wanted to go through the land, the shortcut, through Edom. And the king of Edom stopped them, not even to allow them water for the cattle, even though they wanted to pay. And they had to go the long way. And the devil is seen in hindering the progress of the people of God. If your assembly, if there's problems in your assembly, you put his name behind it. You watch for the attack of the evil one. He will sow discord among the saints. He is out to destroy the testimony, deplete the numbers. My brethren, we need to awaken to these things in our day and be on our knees more in prayer and be earnest about the business. And in the gospel, our brother was speaking about the activity of the gospel. And you know that when there is blessing in the gospel, that he is not so very far away. And you know, he hinders the ministry of the people of God. And he will seek to hinder the ministry of the people of God, that they might not have the food that the word of God gives, that they might not become intelligent to the purpose of God and the ways of God and the will of God. And he does everything in order to distract us from these things. He will question, he will doubt, and he will infiltrate right into assembly life and behind many of the problems lies the activity of the devil and his emissaries. When you think about the fact that he has desires, well, Luke says, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee and to sift thee as wheat." Satan hath desired to have you all. They were all under his eye, that little apostolic band, and every Christian in this building, and every family. For he's out to break the families, and he's out to break the home, and he's out to break the testimony. Oh, there's a ministry. My, we could go on for an hour here in this. But my brethren, you are intelligent people. You know that these things are so. And the problem is that we're faced with this. And what are we going to do? Are we going to be steadfast, strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might? So he has desires. He has devices. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 2, we are not ignorant of his devices. And then, of course, he has deceit. In 2 Corinthians 11, he is seen as an angel of light in all his deception. And then, of course, he devours, says Peter, as a roaring lion he seeks whom he may devour. I tell you this, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against a tremendous force. I know that greater is he that is for us than he that is against us. And I take comfort from that. But I can never, ever underestimate the power of satanic forces. And so just to draw this section to a close, because we're not going to cover it, and I'd love to have gone down it all, but that's not to be today. But just to make us all aware of principalities, of powers, of the rulers of the darkness of this world. This is unseen forces who rule men. Universal lords of the universe. And my brethren, they are very, very real forces. Spiritual wickednesses. And the attack comes from heavenly places. Spiritual wickednesses. Hosts of spiteful, wicked spirits delighting in evil. I remember the days when television first came into the country. I remember the hands of horror going up among the saints. I was just a young man at the time. I was saved in the Air Force, so before I went to the Air Force, television came out, and I remember hearing about the reaction in the assemblies of the television. Hands were up in horror. I want to say to you now, dear folks, and you young people know better than me now, we have in our homes now devices that are far, far more treacherous and dangerous than the television ever was. We have infiltrated right into the sanctity of the Christian home. The personal computers that brings in all the filth of the day. No matter what filtration you have, it will come in. And I'm afraid for our young people, faced with Facebook and all these other, my life and all these other things, going into these things seemingly innocently, but unknowingly there is an enemy at large that is taking stock of all your dimensions and your interests